Sunday morning worship for December 11th, the third Sunday in Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from the 35th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the fifth chapter of the letter of St. James. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. John is doubting Jesus. It's hard to imagine, but it's true. John the Baptist is the one who points the way to Christ. He called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. An angel foretold that he would be born just to deliver this message. And when he was still in his mother's womb, he leapt for joy at meeting Mary, the mother of Jesus. But now, even John has doubts. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? For John to even ask the question means that John doesn't believe his own message. And if John doesn't believe in Jesus, what hope is there for the rest of us? I think today's gospel lesson could be a very disturbing message for those of us who have doubts of our own, because I know that some of us do have doubts, not necessarily about the word of the Bible, that is, whether the flood really happened or if Jesus walked on water or so on, but I think we might have doubts about ourselves. That's really the kind of doubt that John the Baptist had. He questions whether Jesus is really the Messiah, but he's really not doubting Jesus. John rather is doubting his own message. Is what I said really true? And therefore John is doubting himself. Maybe, he thinks to himself, maybe he was wrong. And it's easy to see why John might think this. Our lesson tells us that John could not question Jesus directly, but he had to send his message through his disciples. He had to do this because he was stuck in prison, in the dungeon of King Herod. Things are not going well for John. He is suffering. Specifically, he is suffering for preaching the truth. Herod had done something bad. He had married his brother's wife, and so John had publicly preached against this, as we may assume God would have wanted him to do. But in retaliation, Herod had John put in prison. Herod's new wife would have had him killed, but Herod did not want to do this. Yet also, as we know, Herod's wife would soon get her way. John's head would be offered up to her on a platter. So things aren't going well for John, and it's going to get worse. He must have asked himself, if God is on my side, why is he letting this happen to me? John wonders, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe God is mad. Maybe God isn't on my side at all. When he questions Jesus, he is questioning himself. I hope that none of you have ever experienced what John went through, but I know some of you have gone through something like this. Not that you were in danger of losing your head, but you have been in circumstances where you might have questioned if God was on your side. If he loves you, why did he let this happen? Whether it's disease or money or something else, maybe especially when someone you love is hurt, but whatever it is, you might have asked, why did God let this happen to me? When we put the question that way, it sounds like we are questioning God. But to be more accurate, we are really questioning ourselves. If I am suffering, maybe it's because God is angry. Maybe God loves other people, but he doesn't love me. Maybe the words of Scripture are for somebody else. Maybe God let this happen because I'm not worth his trouble. And we could go on. But I think you understand what I'm talking about. The point should be clear. John the Baptist was a great prophet, but he was also just like the rest of us. He too suffered. He also questioned God. He also doubted the word of God, even if he was the one who preached that word. John is like us, and we are like John. But just knowing this isn't going to solve our problem. To cure our own doubts and to find comfort in our own suffering, we'll have to look to someone else besides John. We have to look to Jesus. Jesus' response to John's question is interesting because of what he does not do. If someone asked you a question, are you really who you say you are? We would say, yes, I am, and then try to prove it. You'd show them your ID or something like this. You might even get angry. I've been coming here for years, and don't you know me? Or something like that. But Jesus does not get angry at John's question, and he doesn't give some kind of proof to prove that he is who he says he is. He doesn't even give John's disciples some special message, some special word just for John. All Jesus does is tell John's disciples to look around and report back what they see. What do they see is going on here? The blind receive their sight. The lame are walking. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf can hear. The dead are raised back to life. And the poor have good news. Just tell John what you've seen, and that will be enough. Now, of course, all these miracles serve as a form of identification for Jesus. The fact that Jesus is doing miracles is proof that he is the Messiah. But there's another part to Jesus' message as well. It is simply to look around. Look outside yourself and see what's happening. That's a piece of advice I think that we all need to hear. Like so many of us, I think John's doubts come from the fact that he is focused on himself, his own imprisonment, his own suffering, his own message, and whether it's true or not, his own status before God. In the same way, especially in our time, I think many of us have become focused on ourselves, especially we've become focused on our own personal problems. And I think our churches suffer for it, but that's a subject for another time. But we also do damage to ourselves by focusing on ourselves. When we do this, all we were left with is doubt. When we look at ourselves, all we have are questions. Unfortunately, there is a common misunderstanding about faith. I mention faith because that's really what we're talking about today. John's doubts are a lack of faith, and so are our doubts. What we need when faced with doubts is more faith. But as I said, we have an unfortunate idea about what faith is, and this misunderstanding leads us to the very doubts that we are talking about. Our problem is that we think faith is something we have, that it is our own possession. We think we choose to believe, or we have a certain feeling about something. And so when we think of our faith as our own possession, we begin to look inside ourselves and find assurance of our faith. We try to look at our own faith to strengthen our faith, as it were. When we feel good, we somehow assume that our faith is strong. But then when things aren't going well, we tend to think that our faith must be failing. I think this is what John the Baptist did, and it's also what we tend to do. But a faith that's pinned to our own feelings and our own circumstances, that kind of faith will always fail. Faith can't have faith in itself. This is why Jesus tells John's disciples to report back what they see. John, you may be in prison, but out here, God is still at work. John, you might not feel very good about yourself, but the word you preached is still true. Jesus is still the Messiah, and God is still worthy of your trust and faith. Like John the Baptist, we would also do well to take Jesus' words to heart. When you aren't feeling so good, remember that you won't find comfort by focusing on yourself. Instead, look outside. If you can, see what God is doing in the world. Or better yet, find comfort in the Scriptures, which teach a truth that your heart can forget. Listen to God's word, and remember that the word says that God loves you, and that God cares for you, always. The word will tell you the truth, even when your heart is lying. Now, I've been telling you that our circumstances are very similar to the situation of John the Baptist, but in one way, we are very different. Certainly, we are not better people than John, and our faith is not stronger. But we have one advantage that John didn't have. John died in prison before Jesus finished his ministry. John did not see the cross or the empty tomb. He didn't know how Jesus died and rose again. But you do know these things. You can do something that John couldn't do. When you suffer, you can also remember how Jesus suffered. As you come closer to death, you can remember that Jesus died. And when you are faced with troubles that might lead you to doubt God's love for you, you can remember that God's own Son suffered the way that you are suffering. And above all, you can remember how Jesus rose from the dead. And then you will know that you will rise from the dead like him. Look at Jesus, and you will find something to put your faith in. For John, all these things that we're talking about, all this was still in the future. His disciples could not report back about the empty tomb. But for you, this is a fact. You know this already. What was prophecy and hope for John is now history for you. So when you are sad, when you feel as though your life isn't going well, when your faith feels weak, remember the message of Jesus. Look around, and what do you see? You see the cross. You see the empty tomb. These things are the answers to your doubts. This is the proof that God still cares for you. This is your proof that you will rise like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray. Father of all mercies, the visitation of your Son has enlightened the darkness of our hearts and every corner of creation. Hear us as we pray in his name and as according to your will. Father, you have sent messengers to prepare the way of your Son's coming. Grant us ears to hear and hearts to believe the words delivered by pastors and all who bear your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Righteous Lord, you rule over all things in heaven and on earth. Until that day when your Son comes in glory to usher in his kingdom, give wisdom and insight to all leaders, that we may live peaceful lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, the prophet Isaiah looked for the day when blind eyes would see, deaf ears would hear, lame legs would leap, and mute tongues would sing. Until the final day of restoration, draw near to all who have requested our prayers. Give your mercy today to Shirley Rothman, Ellen Mueller, Harry Spence, Betty Spence, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Deladonis, Kristen Sykes, Courtney Cooker, Elizabeth, Terry Sheldon, and Shirley Fabozzi. And also Ernie, Nina, John, Mary, Joe, Nick, Monica, Don, Joey, Gordon, Denny, Tom, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, James, and Ursula. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, your love invites us to rejoice in your goodness. In every circumstance of life, teach us the joy that comes from knowing your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and eagerly expecting his gracious visitation. With the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.